We're proud to welcome the Excelsior on Dale Street to the Good Times Gang as the new official public house of the Good Times Everton podcast. With six cask ales and Erdinger on draft, a weekly Tuesday quiz with £40 bar tab for first place, the Excelsior is a proper blue pub with some of the best staff in town. Win or lose, we're on the booze with the Excelsior. Welcome everyone to a special bonus edition of the Good Times Everton podcast. I'm Kevin Melling, I'm here with Liam Knight.
Hi everyone.
So we've just come off the back of plunging into 2000-2001, Liam. It took over two episodes, the whole of October, very, very appropriately, as we said, in the build-up to Halloween, because it was such a scary season. So now it's time, I think, to look back on something else that happened in October, which was you making your debut on national radio. It's kind of gone under the radar a little bit, I think.
Yeah, it has. We did local radio a few months ago, but I'm very lucky enough to go on the Good Smart Show on 5 Live with Pat Nevin, who I've since met in person at a tour of Goodison Park, which was still a bit surreal. I know a few people have tuned in on the night, but it was quite late at night, so it's nice for us to share it. So I think you can tell listeners how we're planning to do that.
Yeah, so initially we said, well, we've got the audio. We asked Gordon Smart, producer, you know, if we could upload it onto our podcast, and they were happy to oblige with that. Good for them, I think, to get a bit of rub off the Good Times Everton podcast, you know. But then we thought, well, why don't we do something a little bit different, and let's do a listen along to it. So that's what we're going to do tonight. But firstly, going back to 2000-2001, it'll be nice to leave it in the rear window. But I did, and I told you this months ago, I did try my best to entice Nick Barmby from out of the woodwork to come and talk to us.
And I tried.
No, I tried and I failed, which is, you know, one of the many lessons I think we're all going to learn from this journey is that you try, you fail as an Evertonian. So what I've done instead, in lieu of little Nicky, you know, joining us for a cordial chat, was that I asked ChatGPT to imagine what that would have sounded like. So I gave it a couple of simple instructions and I'll reveal them at the end. But for now, if you could just open the document that I've sent you there, it's called Interview.
Yeah, okay, let's have a look at it.
There's no spreadsheets here, so nothing for you to worry about. Oh. This is just a Word doc.
Yeah, I've got it up right now. I mean, just before you go, to call him Little Nicky, I think, is apt because he is the devil. So I'm quite content with that.
And he's like 5'4".
Yeah. I can attest his shirt is a tight fit.
Yeah. This is, so what this is a transcript of an imagined conversation between you, me, and our guest, Nick Barmby, if he'd appeared on episode 10. So I'm going to play the parts of Kevin Melling and Nick Barmby. If you can just play the parts of Liam Knight, which I've helpfully put in bold for you.
But thanks. It's a role I think I was born to play.
Well, let's find out. So should we get straight into it? Let's see what ChatGPT brought up for us. So I'll also do the little, what are they called here? These little kind of directions or whatever they're called. You know what it says here? Intro music plays. I forget what that's called in a screenplay, but I'll read those out as well. Okay, so
intro you were all over this.
What?
I thought you were all over this, Kev.
I am all over it, but I'm all over the place more like at the minute, aren't I? This was a very late idea. So although I'm all over it,
well, this is the first I've heard of it as we're recording, guys. So that's how late an idea it was.
Well, yeah, because I was worried that you were just gonna say no and refuse to join the call. But so it says here, intro music plays. And this is me. Hello, and welcome to the Good Times Everton podcast. I'm Kevin Melling, and this is episode number 10, where we're looking at some key figures from Everton's history, celebrating the highs and, well, sometimes revisiting the lows. With me, as ever, is my co-host Liam Knight. But before we get to him, we've got a special guest today, Nick Barmby, someone who played for both sides of Merseyside. Nick, it's great to have you here. Thanks for coming on. Cheers, Kevin. Thanks for having me. Is that what he talked like? Something like that?
I've drowned his voice out. I just recognize his face.
I didn't really want to look up any interviews with him, but that's what I'm
Yeah, on your YouTube history, Nick
Yeah,
Barney.
so any of our listeners in Kingston upon Hull, I apologise if this is wide of the mark. No problem at all, Nick. Now I'm going to start us off by talking about your time at Everton. You came to the club in 96, had some great seasons with us, but we've got to talk about the elephant in the room. You made the move across to Liverpool in 2000. How do you reflect on that decision now, all these years later? Yeah, you know, Kevin, it was a tough decision at the time, no doubt. I loved my time at Everton, but when Liverpool came in, it was an opportunity I couldn't turn down. It was purely footballing reasons, nothing against the club or the fans. Right, yeah, I can understand that. Well, we've all moved on, haven't we? Now, Liam, you've been awfully quiet, mate. Do you want to chime in?
Oh, I was just listening.
Right, well, don't let me hog the mic, mate.
Nick, mate, it's great to have you on, really. I mean, what a thrill. A player crossed the Great Divide, and well, let's face it, we all remember how that went down. But hey, it's water under the bridge now, right?
Yeah. Time heals, doesn't it?
Oh, it sure does, Nick. It sure does. So let's rewind a bit. Yeah, you're at Everton, you're playing well, the fans love you, and then boom, you're off to the other side. What was it? Did you fancy a change of scenery or just dying to wear that red shirt?
Like I said, it was a footballing decision. At the time, I felt it was the right move for me and my career. Liverpool was offering Champions League football, and it was an exciting prospect.
Well, you can tell ChatGPT doesn't know what stuff to do anyway for Cup. But anyway, ChatGPT says that I would say, ah, Champions League. Right. That old chestnut. No regrets then. Not even a tiny pang of remorse when you think back to all those Everton fans who cheered you on, who sang your name, who, I don't know, maybe thought you'd stay loyal.
Liam, mates, we're keeping it friendly, yeah? You know, I've got nothing but good memories from my time at Everton. I totally understand how the fans felt. It's a passionate city, and I respect that.
Oh, you respect it, do you? That's nice. Real nice. So, let me ask you this, Nick. When you first stepped out onto the Anfield pitch in that red shirt, did it feel different? You know, training a whole half a city and all.
Okay, so it says here, brackets, Nick, looking uncomfortable. It was a surreal feeling, I won't lie. But at the end of the day, footballers move clubs. It happens all the time. I had to make the best decision for my career, and that's what I did. Now, here it says, Liam, smiling too widely.
Oh, I get it. It's job. Just business, right? It's not like fans pour their heart into this or anything. Not like Everton was your home for 4 years or anything like that. No, just business. Totally makes sense.
Right. Nick, how about we shift gears here? What was your best memory from your Everton days? You know, Kevin, the fans were always amazing. I didn't get to score in a derby for Everton, but playing in those games was always special. Of course, scoring for Liverpool in the derby at Anfield is a memory that stands out. Liam,
Oh,
voice dripping with sarcasm.
I think this is underplaying. I'd be seething with rage by now. But oh, scoring in the derby for Liverpool. Yeah, I'm sure that was brilliant for you. Too bad the fans left behind and again, enjoy it, eh? Must have been the real dream, sticking a knife in.
Nick, visibly tense. Look, I understand where you're coming from, but like I said, I've always respected the fans at Everton. Liam, leaning forward
Sorry.
towards his camera.
Yeah, just leaning forward, yeah, intimidating him across the ether. Oh, you respect the fans, do you? Respect, let me tell you, Nick. Respect is staying with the club that gave you everything. Respect is loyalty. But you walked away, you made your choice. And guess what, mate? We haven't forgotten. God, I feel like Phil Leotardo.
This is like a this is definitely a dream role for you. It's like method acting.
Nah, this is too tame, mate. You'd have
Yeah,
to
all right.
bleep us out like you had to
No, but
be
I don't know
on
if you've ever given instructions to ChatGPT, the minute you start suggesting something like violent or aggressive, it shuts you down.
that episode.
So you'd have to kind of maneuver around
Totally.
it. Nick, looking angry. Look, Liam, if this is how the interview is going to go, I don't have to be here. I came on here to have a conversation, not to get grilled about a decision I made over 20 years ago.
Oh, don't worry, Nick. We're done. Thanks for the memories. All two
Nick sneers. Yeah, well, at least I've got memories to look back on, Liam. What have you got? Bitterness? Pathetic. Oh, wow. Okay. Kevin reaches for popcorn. Liam smirking, leaning in.
So, Nick, speaking of ambition, I'm curious, did you ever get any, I don't know, career advice on that down the move like that? Maybe from a mate like, say, Viv Anderson?
Nick immediately defensive. Excuse me, what's Viv got to do with anything? Liam feigns innocence.
Oh, come on, he's your mate, isn't he? The guy, let's always say, always knows the right moves. I'm just wondering if you had any if you had any words of wisdom when you were deciding to ditch Everton.
Nick, angry. Don't drag my friends or family into this, Liam. You want to talk about my decision? Fine, but leave Viv, and especially my wife, out of it. Liam laughs coldly.
Oh, I'm sorry. You don't like it when it's personal. That's funny, because it was pretty personal when you sold out the club and the fans that backed you. Guess it feels different when it's turned around, huh?
Nick, red-faced, glaring at the camera. I don't need this. If you're going to make it personal, I'm done. I came here out of respect, but I'm not here to be disrespected. Goodbye. Barnaby leaves the Zoom call abruptly. Okay, that went off the rails a bit. I'll leave you to wrap it up, Liam. Liam smirking.
Do a lot of smirking here. I'm not a smirky,
Lot of smirking and leaning forward.
I like the idea of the intimidating lean. Oh, don't worry, Kev. I've got this. Right, folks. Episode number 11. We're diving into 2008-2009 season. Let's go. Fellaini and the FA Cup final. I'll be joined by none other than Leighton Baines himself. You won't want to miss it.
Well, I guess we're looking forward to that. Thanks for listening, everyone. Catch you next time. Outro music, please. What do you think?
Yeah, bewildered by the Viv Anderson shouts, but it feels like it. The spirit of, I think, how that conversation would go is captured somewhat, if not the essence.
All right, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to open the instructions document,
Yeah, just
and
doing that.
if you could read out, these are the instructions. So just the simple kind of framework I gave ChatGPT to come up with this.
Okay, ChatGPT, you said, write a transcript for Nick Barnby's appearance on the Good Times Everton podcast. Co-host Kevin Mellon begins the interview. Co-host Liam Knight, who still holds a venomous grudge against Barnby for moving from Everton to Liverpool in 2001, wants no part of it. I can attest to that. However, it's not long before Liam can't help himself. He takes over the conversation, being suspiciously jovial with Barnby at first, before the mask begins to slip and emotions get the better of him. The interview ends with one of the men end the Zoom call with a scathing put down the other while Kevin enjoys some popcorn. At the end, Liam will reveal the guest episode for number 11, which looks at Everton's 2008-2009 season.
And then
You
at that
said,
point, I asked it, I put in an extra prompt.
yeah, the extra prompt was you said, same ending, but Barnby leaves after Liam asks about Viv Anderson and Barnby's wife. Why Viv Anderson? Was that from like his days at Bury when Viv Anderson was on the coaching staff?
Oh, have you never heard the Viv Anderson rumours?
No.
Oh, they were rife in the away ends around 2000.
Is this a Russell? Viv Anderson from Russell and Barnaby, his wife.
I mean, allegedly, you know, they were
It's a rumor. I've never heard this rumor, and we will have to stress anything like this is complete rumor.
the whispers going around the Eveswey coaches back in the day, like I said.
A reliable source of social knowledge.
But yeah, anyway, yeah, that was like it. That was one of the whispers as to why Nick was so hasty to leave Middlesbrough after his big move from Tottenham. But I'm sure it's not true. I'm sure there's nothing to it. But you know, we Nick never got the chance to answer that question himself because we couldn't get him on. Or maybe it would have
You
went
get him
something like
on
that.
maybe 96, 97.
Yeah.
Why did you move to Everton so shortly after moving from Middlesbrough?
Great stuff. Well, I enjoyed that. The other prompt that I had to change, which I haven't included yet, was that there was a bit where, and like you said, with ChatGPT not being very good, there was a bit where he started talking about how great it was to score for Everton in the derby at Goodison. And I had to put, no, his derby goal was not at Goodison, it was at Anfield. And then ChatGPT was like, oh, hey, yeah, you're right. Let me change that bit for you. And then that's when I came up with the Viv idea. So, all right, well, leave that now and we'll move on to what was initially called the Rod Stewart Invitational. And this kind of came out of the blue, and where, you know, you made your debut on national radio, yeah, which is no small deal, really. You know, it's we don't profess to be any kind of like celebrity Evertonians at all. We were just approached by someone who appears to have heard about us and thought that we'd fit in well with this feature, a new feature on Gordon Smart's show. So it was a strange one because it all happened very quickly. We got an email about a week before you went on saying, could you come on and do this new feature? It's called the Rod Stewart Invitational. And I thought that was a joke because we've had Rod a couple of times in our like social media posts, haven't we, when we're drawing out to the bobble hath. And it comes from the kind of
Legendary cup droid for the
yeah,
Scottish Cup.
kind of cult hero, semi infamous appearance by Rod at the Scottish Cup alongside former Evertonian Alan Stubbs. So yeah, when I saw that, I started to wonder if somebody was winding us up. But I sent it your way and said you fancy doing this, mainly because I didn't have the time, but also because I thought you'd be really good at it. And then
Oh, that's nice. Thanks,
I
man.
came up, and I was right as well. And we'll hear that when we listen to it. And then I came up with an idea of, sorry, the producer came back to us saying, "Here's five or six questions about your club. You're going to go against a fan from another club, and you two are going to debate over which is the best." And they gave us six questions that you were going to talk about with this other fan. And we decided to put them to our listeners on Instagram and Twitter and ask them for their answers to these questions. And we said, you know, that'll be a nice angle for us to approach it because it shows we're just a very small part of Evertonia, aren't we? We're not representative of it. We wanted to bring in people from
No,
all corners with their answers to these questions, like who is
we're
the
just
best
two
legend?
Evertonians. We're just two Evertonians,
Yeah.
and you know, the reception that this project has got is, I think, it's blown us both away, hasn't it? Because it's just a passion project, and we're just sharing our memories. But I think in the days of content, people can kind of think feel like the voice of the fans. We're just our voice, not their voice, and it's really we were really flattered, you know, to be invited on, and as I say, just give. That's why we put it out to people, because we didn't want to be, well, this is just what we think, even though I might have to make executive decisions. I wanted to kind of portray what a cross section of the fan base thought.
Yeah, absolutely. So this took place on Thursday, the 10th of October, and it was at 11 o'clock at night. So, like you said, a lot of people might not have been able to listen to it. It is quite late. I remember lying in bed listening to it on my headphones, and there was one point where I really wanted to text you, but my phone was just out of reach.
I wasn't seeing it anyway because I was on the phone for it.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So, and you know, I thought it's probably best not to bother him and try and put him off his rhythm. And I won't give the results away either. We'll leave that until, you know, this will probably be a live reveal for our listeners here as to how this went for many of them anyway. But you went up against a Chelsea fan, which we suspected might be the case because we were told that Pat Nevin was going to be the judge. You know, they couldn't put Pat with Everton up against the team that he never played for. We assumed it would be Chelsea, maybe Tranmere, and it was Chelsea. So,
Possibly Hibs, but we but yeah,
We were quite confident we'd be going into it. So I'm gonna share the audio now. The way we'll do this is you just listen back, relive it, and I'm gonna pause at any certain moments where I want to comment or ask you a question, and that's what we'll do.
So much for your company tonight. Now we've got something new to unveil, an enhanced football feature this Thursday night. And we're going to get stuck right in. So welcome back to Weeknights. It's time to get our weekly battle of football fans together. So this is Fan of the Match. Each week, two supporters from rival clubs join me to argue the case for their club being the greatest in the land. It's as simple as that. Never mind actual results on the pitch. We're more interested in the team with the best food, the best scran, the greatest fans, the weirdest mascot. Every week, I will have a special guest to pick a winner. Tonight, it's Chelsea and Everton legend. We call him the pirouetting pundit, the one and only, the gorgeous, pouting, fragrant superstar DJ. It is Pat Nevin. Good evening, Pat.
Okay, so one thing I want to point out here, you'll have noticed that they don't mention Rod Stewart. They changed the name to Fan of the Match, which is a much inferior name. But We don't know whether they were worried about Rod Stewart's people
No, I
getting
didn't.
involved.
When I spoke with them just before I went on, they kind of intimated that, you know, they might have had feelers from Rod's camp that it wasn't well received as a concept. They didn't give me anything specific, but it was kind of alluded to that that Rod had put, you know, Rod put a few feelers out and they weren't receptive to it.
Wow, Rod put the kibosh on it. That's
Or it might
hilarious.
even just be they ran it past their own legal team who've just gone, this isn't worth the hassle.
Ah, yeah, they've probably got a Liam there, haven't they, in the office saying, no, don't do it. Not worth it.
What can I say? I'm just sensitive to how people feel.
Pat, you're right. I'm very good going, hey, you.
Ach, I'm not bad, Pat. I'm not bad. All the better for seeing you. You just got this enthusiasm, Pat, that lights up the day for me.
Well, yeah, enthusiastic. Although, I have to say one thing. You and I may be surprised at this, right? I watched England tonight, and I was
Right.
so desperate for them to win because of that team they put out tonight, and they didn't win. And I thought, oh, they've finally played and put a team out the way I wanted them to do. And then it all went flat.
Does that just kill it, Pat, forever now? You know, the argument for flamboyant footballers like yourself.
Pat chatting a load of shite here about England. Not very interesting.
I was devastated for them.
Oh, well, anyway, we've got next week to look forward to, Pat. I'll probably see you at Hampden with a bit of luck. Pat, before we get started, we have a rule between both of us that every time we speak, we have to challenge the listeners to that wonderful tongue twister. Do you want to give it a go?
Possibly. Three Rovers, three Strathspey, Thistle, three. Oh, not
Oh,
bad tonight.
perfectly delivered. I'll give it a go. Strathspey, Thistle, three. Three Rovers, three.
Ah,
Not
you're
bad.
learning, you're learning.
I'm learning. Great, Pat. Right, because you're here this evening, there are two obvious clubs that we had to put head to head tonight. So please welcome to the show, in the blue corner, one of the blue corners, representing Everton, we've got Liam Knight, co-host of the Good Times Everton podcast. Good evening, Liam.
Good evening, Pat and Gordon. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm looking forward to this.
Yes, so am I, Liam. I'm glad you're on tonight. Liam, before we get started, is there anything sycophantic you'd like to say to the lovely Pat Nevin about his time at Everton?
Well, yeah, I'm say sycophantic. It probably make him feel old. He's my dad's favourite, one of my dad's favourite players.
That's you lost, Liam.
We're doing a tour of Goodison with Pat in a few weeks, so I'm looking forward to hopefully meeting him in person soon.
Oh, excellent. I'm definitely coming down for that one.
So a nice little opening joke there. You've got some good rapport going with them already. You know, we said Walter Smith and Archie Knox were like Malcolm Tucker and Jamie on the thick of it. I feel like these two are the real Tucker and Jamie, the way they bounce off each other. And your Ollie, maybe.
No, come on. No, I'm not. I'm not as submissive as Ollie.
I feel like
they're not as aggressive. I get they've got the synergy, but they haven't got the aggression.
No, that's true. They've never laughed at Ollie's jokes either, have they? So
no, and although I do suspect that Pat, because he's such a music fan and intellectual, he probably has listened to a bit of Al Jolson.
Yeah, he loves Al Jolson.
He loves Al Jolson.
Very quickly, just on that point, Gordon, just so you know, the second worst thing is people say, oh, my mum used to fancy you. One day, someone's going to say, my granny used to fancy you. And that's it. It's time to go.
Brilliantly. Well, I think Liam's in danger of losing out with that sort of backhanded compliment to start the night. I love those backhanded compliments. You know, I do quite a bit with Martin Compston from Line of Duty. And somebody once said to him, if you were just a wee bit taller, you could be James Bond.
Ouch.
Painful one. Right, in the other blue corner, representing the other blue team tonight, Chelsea, we have Michael Mauch. Good evening, Michael, comedian, co-host of the Chelsea podcast. Are you well, sir?
I'm all right. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're good, Michael. We're good. Good to have you on. I mean, again, is there anything you'd like to say to Pat before
oh,
we get
he
started?
Sounds
like a
curry too
favour?
Young. Yeah. He sounds far too young.
Does your gran like Pat?
My granddad loves you. No. Listen, I know Pat more from, you know, Chelsea TV and stuff like that, but probably a bit more my time. But,
didn't hear what he said then. I'm not 100% convinced that this fella knows who Pat Nevin is.
No, it feels like he's making up on the hop. Although I did a Q&A with Pat, I attended a Q&A with Pat as part of the tour of Goodison I alluded to recently, and he actually said he's been doing a lot of work for Chelsea TV and writing for the programme. But that's come to an end. So
perhaps not as impartial as we may have hoped.
Okay. No, sometimes the deck's stacked, isn't it?
Grant Starks, lovely to hear. Pat, before we get started, you know, before this gets heated between Liam and Michael, just give us a sort of overview of your time at both clubs. You know, what are the things that stand out? And I'd like something a bit different, Pat. You know, we always talk about this, the Ringo Starr story about Abbey Road, right? Everybody thinks about that wooden floor, the parquet floor, and maybe some of the famous instruments, but he remembers the smell of bacon when he sees the picture. So give us a different memory of Everton and Chelsea.
Do you know this staggering thing? Yes, lots of differences about them, but the similarities were weird for me, right? So when I grew up in Scotland and started green Celtic supporter, turned into a green Hibernian supporter, and ended up going down south where, you know, every time I signed for a club, they were blue. And my dad was devastated. He couldn't wear a scarf. But the similarities for me were with both clubs had phenomenal starts for 3-4 years, whatever, and then they changed managers and then it was a nightmare. So...
A nice optimistic start, Pat.
Yes.
I mean, Pat, one of the things about playing on both those famous grounds is you were really close to the punters, weren't you?
More so at Goodison. Back in those days with Chelsea, they had the big open stadium and they had the kind of a track around it, and it was far too open. Oddly enough, though, there was nothing wrong with the atmosphere. The atmosphere was still pretty good then. Sometimes now, and we'll not get into any decisions of what we're going to go with in the end here, but Stamford Bridge... It's not always the greatest atmosphere at the moment. You know, it's kind of needs to work on that a little bit. I think the players need to lift
the fans. May or may not be behind the reason behind Pat not writing for the programme anymore.
You know, our first game at Everton, we win 4-0 against Newcastle. And I think the years have just about recovered now. And that was a few years ago.
Yeah. Well, Michael, I was going to ask you about that atmosphere because, you know, I worked a lot with Johnny Vaughan, right? And anybody who spent time in his company, I can't believe the atmosphere's not great when that man's in the stadium, because he brings some decibels to it himself. But what do you think of the
atmosphere, Mike? Name dropping there, Gordon.
I mean, you have it, some games you don't. I mean, the last two seasons, I can't blame it. It's not been it's understandable, but you know, there's lots of factors, prices of tickets. Yeah. You know,
just to say there, like he's talking about the last two seasons
for certain sections of the crowd and.
He's talking about the last two seasons being hard, you know, compared to some of the stuff that we've covered on the good times.
Oh, mate.
Nothing much, have we?
Or to Everton's last two seasons.
Yeah. Yeah, I just it makes me laugh with the clubs to say that, you know, well, we had this, you know, we had such hardship. And I find it weird as well from Chelsea fan, because until this century, they, you know, they were occasionally a cup team, but they, you know, yeah. Until the good times here, really, they were a mid to lower end team, weren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, proper.
You'll get a bit more of an atmosphere on, you know, on the Zuropa nights and all that.
Superb stuff, right, Michael, Pat and Liam. Let's get stuck into this. And we're gonna start with the big one, right? We're gonna start with club legend, your greatest ever player. It's an impossible choice, but we're gonna force you to narrow it down to one. And we've also banned either of you from picking Pat, so you can't get it on your side. Right? You were both thinking it, and you can't claim your grannies and granddads either on this one, right? So Liam, right, you've gone for one of the great goalkeepers of all time, right? Moustache growers of the 80s and 90s, behold, it's this world-class Welsh shot stopper. Have a listen.
This could be very, very important. Everton lead 2-0, but Southampton have the penalty. So it's Neville Southall against David Armstrong. The referee comes over to move the ball a couple of inches, and Armstrong will go across and move it again. He wants it to the referee. I wonder if all the worst of penalties...
We'll keep a huge personality.
Right, so I'm just skipping that forward a bit there, because obviously you're talking about Big Nev.
Well, Neville is quite simply, in my opinion, the greatest living Evertonian. I think a lot of people who've been fortunate enough to see him play, and obviously Pat was lucky enough to have played with him, will attest to that. I mean, even in the autumn of his career, Everton played the FA Cup final. He's coming towards the end against Manchester United. He's man of the match. He wins Everton the Cup. You know, he won everything there was to win at Everton, and he was a key part of the side. And it wasn't just his ability, it was his longevity. He was Everton's first choice keeper for 16, 17 years. And for a large chunk of that, as you rightly put there, he wasn't just necessarily the best player in Everton's team. He was arguably the best player in his position in the world. And he was a genuine class act. And he continued that in his post-football career. You know, he does an awful lot on social media for charities, for other people's well-beings. And he's just brilliant, in my opinion.
You know, around good. Liam, I've got to do this humble brag because I got the chance to play with him. You know, you talk about the autumn of somebody's career. I played in his Siberian winter of his career. And I tell you this, he was outstanding. And just knowing he was standing, but I played centre half and he was playing behind me, and he was phenomenal. He just has this presence. Pat, what, can you explain his presence?
Right, I'm going to explain something to no other goalkeeper has ever done before, right? Lots of us were decent players, international players, right? And you have this thing where you play the ball up to 18-yard line, lay it back, and you shoot for 20 yards, right? So there's people like Graham Sharp, Sheeds, Tony Cotty, myself, lots and lots of players that were international players. 20 minutes later, none of us have yet scored against Neville. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Yes.
Here's the killer. He wasn't using his hands.
No.
He was diving up to the top corners and heading it away. He was using his feet. He was using everything. In the end, we could not actually reach the goal because we were laughing so much. The guy was genius.
I mean, Liam, that's what you want to hear, isn't it? That kind of behind-the-scenes information. It's class, isn't it?
Oh, it's brilliant. I mean, I'm going to try and make some points up here now from what I said earlier. It's why his books are such good reads. I really enjoy <good. laughs> give you that sort of knowledge, you know, that insight. And I think that's why Neville is so great, because he's not just a fantastic player, he's a fantastic character as well. You know, and I think that's one of the reasons that he is such a legend with Evertonians and a lot of football fans alike.
Yeah, he's made of granite as well, Pat, isn't he? Let's not pretend that he was a physically tough individual, right?
Made of quite a lot of granite, it has to be said, these days. And Nev wouldn't mind me saying that as well.
Steady path.
Right, so there's one way to beat him, is the scoop, right? So you get one-on-one with him and you scoop it 20 yards over his head and he can't stop it. Problem is, he found an answer to that as well. He didn't try to stop it, he tried to kill me. And yes, yeah, indeed, you're right. He was made of granite, because I found out when he rugby tackled me.
Excellent stuff. You know, well when skill fails, resort to extreme violence. Yes. But that, again, great argument there, Liam and Pat. Fantastic information. Now, Michael, on to you. And you've gone for a true talisman, an Italian wizard who was so loved by the club, he even welcomed him back as manager. It's Magic Box himself, Gianfranco Zola.
Here come Chelsea. Zola in the D, edge of the area, gets away from his man.
I've met him a couple of times and he's honestly just a true gent. The first time I met him was, well, not really met him, like me and some mates were on the King's Road and we were hammered. And
I was cringing listening to him tell this story, by the way.
He seems to be, we all get hammered and stuff, but it felt like all his stories involved him having a drink.
Yeah, just he says, you know, this is when we met him, and then it sounds like he was just like harassing him while he had a baby. Yeah,
just chase some fella who's just having a bowl of pasta or having his own business.
We just spotted him and Poirier in a restaurant, and you know, we were, you know, teenagers at the time, so we just bowled on in and demanded autographs, and him and Gus were just so accommodating despite us just rudely interrupting their meal. And but like so friendly, so happy to sort of, well,
it's the way he says they demanded autographs that just felt, it sat really poorly with me. I think this is at the point where I text you saying, who's this knobhead? You're coming across dead well, and the Chelsea lad is a bad baby.
he seemed okay. I think it's just, like I say, it's demand, isn't it? The idea that you can intrude on people's personal space, and you know, I think people are different, but like if I've been to like play a day, you know, players like afternoons where you have a meet and greet, but I'd never just impose on someone on the street. I'd feel embarrassed.
No, it's mortifying.
Yeah, great guy, great player, and did a lot for the club.
I mean, what was the moment on the pitch that sticks with you about Gianfranco Zola?
I mean, I think that goal against Norwich, the sort of that in the FA Cup, just yeah, the flick, backheel flick from the corner, just so insane and just class.
Pat, he was an incredible technician, wasn't he? I remember watching an interview with him where he gave a free kick masterclass, and he described the football as a clock face, and he said he liked to strike the ball at 20 to 4. And if he finished the strike of the ball at 10 past 12, I think he said it was, it would go in the top corner. And I remember that Saturday trying to do it when I was playing and thundering it about 300 yards over the bar, thinking maybe Zola's not got this. But Pat, he was a great technician, wasn't he? Dead ball specialist, you know, a great winger. He had everything in his game.
Yeah, well, not just winger, but a 10 as well. Yeah. You know, that sort of position. You know, he was the understudy for a long time for Maradona, obviously, at Napoli. But when he came to Chelsea, Chelsea's got a particular love for a a certain type of player. They love Charlie Cook in the old days, and then you've got the likes of Zola, and then you've got Hazard and Mata, and they have an absolute deep love of a certain kind of skillful kind of player. And I understand why you go for Zola in that situation. And he brought something new and something different, and something that was missing a wee bit from the English game. So I think he did help to change the English game to some degree. But the fact that you mentioned that he was one of the most beautiful human beings you'll ever meet, absolutely, 100%. I have to agree with that completely. I actually... Name drop. I've actually got the phone number of both of those guys in my phone, right?
Phone them now, Pat, come on.
But I'd phone up Zola before I'd phone Nev. Nev would give his dogs abuse and Zola would say hello.
I think I know which one would be more entertainment for the radio. But
what is that?
So there, Pat, again, this is a difficult decision for you. Who's the better player?
Right, before we did this, I have to tell you very, very quickly. I made my own decisions who I thought you would go for, right?
Right. Go on.
Okay. Didn't go for Neville. Thought we'd go for Dixie Deans. So that was a surprise. Didn't go for Zola. Thought we'd go for Lamps. So I got both of them completely wrong for the fans. But, you know, it's two brilliant ones to go for. And it's really, really happy. You want me to make a decision, don't you?
Yes.
And it has to come down to one of them was the best player in the world at his position.
Yeah.
And that was Neville.
Excellent. Oh, they were controversial. Liam, you must be thrilled with that. Pat spoken.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, Neville is brilliant and, he was a world-class player. So I think that was the reason we chose him. And as Pat said, one of the players our listeners did suggest was Dixie Dean. But I think Neville is someone that is just, it probably surpassed that in many ways in a different way. But yeah.
Yeah, well, I've got to be honest, you're all wrong, lads. It's Duncan Ferguson. Duncan Ferguson and Steve Clark. There's your answer to all these questions. Here's something for you then, gentlemen, right? Some huge news for you. Our researchers have discovered a key fact that's going to blow this contest wide open. Zola's first goal in a Chelsea shirt was a beautiful free kick, 7th of December 1996. Curling effort, opposition keeper was well beaten. No chance at all. Liam, do you know who the unfortunate man was between the sticks that day?
Yeah, I put it down as a Neil Barrett own goal. It was a 2-2 draw at Stamford Bridge when he curled one past Neville in his big orange kit. I remember it well. But it was a great goal. And
was it an own goal by the Earl?
He's kind of on the line, isn't he?
Is it on the record as Ailes or is it Zola's?
No, it goes down as Zola's goal. I was trying to add a bit of flair because obviously...
Yeah, it was good.
I think as well, the producers get in touch with you, but they might know the premise of I'm pretty certain they don't know the premise of our podcast that we kind of have that. So I just kind of wanted to detail a little bit the sort of stuff that we bring. And I had a bit of the contrast because, as you say, I mean, the chap I was up against from Chelsea, he's like a nice fella, but he seemed a bit light on detail as well.
Yeah. A little bit of Lovejoy, wasn't he?
And that's all.
Blame the wall. Couldn't hit that one, could he? Yeah.
Well, Michael, that means you can claim victory there just on that moment alone. Right. Okay, boys, we're going to turn our attention to the terraces themselves, right? We're looking for your club's best fan. It could be a celebrity supporter, someone who's less well known, perhaps, but garners a deep love and respect from the fan base. So, Liam, there are quite a few high profile fans for you to pick from, including this guy I interviewed not long ago, the one and only Speedo Mick. Well, I can see the great man right now, Speedo Mick, and we're all smiling from ear to ear. I can see him right now, so if you can, you've finished your final charity walk, and you'll be doing that this weekend. Mick, thank you so much for coming on once more.
Oh, thank you for inviting me on board, man. You know, I really appreciate it.
Believable, Speedo Mick there. Loads of summits, mate. Love that. Liam, you've got loads to choose from, right? Who have you picked?
Well, he was someone who's mentioned the conversation because he's done so much for charity and, you know, he was a brave soul. I remember seeing him once at a game where it felt like it was -1 and he was just stood there. We were losing 1-0 and he was in his Speedos and I was like, God, I don't know how he's doing that because I've got about 3 coats on and I'm freezing. But we went a little bit further back. There's an iconic moment in Everton, I'd say football history. In 1966, they came back from 2-0 down to beat Sheffield Wednesday and win the FA Cup. And after one of the goals, Eddie Cavana, a famous Evertonian, ran on the pitch and got charged to the ground by policemen. It's a really iconic moment. So because we're spoiled for choice for so many Evertonians, that was the one that quite a few of our listeners went for, and that I think is a good choice.
That's a great choice. Pat, anybody you'd like to give a shout out to here?
I'm going to go for Judy Dench. Paul McCartney's not a bad one.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of musicians. I was going to do that to persuade Pat. You know, you've got Ian Astbury from The Cult, yeah. You've got Bill Ryder Jones, Lee Mavers, but it was hard. It was really hard to narrow it down.
Foreshadowing there, weren't you, saying Ian Astbury?
I was going to say, yeah. See in the future.
Right, Michael, you actually used to occasionally sit next to one of Chelsea's celebrity fans. Here he is, talking about he was blindsided by the sacking of Pochettino.
I turn my back, I do a playlist.
DJ either, that's Trevor Nelson. Did you sit next to him there, Michael? Yeah,
Trevor Nelson, give me a break.
In the shed up, and they sit right next to Trevor, so I'm sometimes sat over there. But yeah, we've got loads of celebrity fans, loads of sort of, you know, musical legends, Suggs, you know, Will Ferrell apparently as well. I don't know.
Famous musical legend Will Ferrell.
I was torn between a few sort of fans, I suppose, but Ziggy Zaga has to get a mention, you know. But I think that the fan that's probably done the most and literally saved the club was Matthew Harding. You know,
did he say Zig and Zag have to get a mention?
No, Zig Zag is a musician. It wasn't Zig and Zag.
he goes for the sympathy vote here, I think. And like the moment he said Matthew Harding, my heart sank a little bit because I knew.
I knew. Lost, but you know, to be fair, you know, they have a stand named after Matthew Harding, don't they? And he did, like, he saved the club. So I know you say about the sympathy vote, but there is. Oh, it's a good cause, isn't it?
yeah. I just don't think you really had much of a chance, even with someone as legendary as Eddie.
I know.
Well, I had a hero because I was a distance runner when I was a youngster. Mm-hmm. And I walked on the pitch one day, and walking off the pitch with a gold medal in his hand was a guy called Sebastian Coe. And I thought, oh, I'll hide here. And he walked over and said, hello, Pat. And it was one of those moments, I'm sure you've had them, Gordon, where somebody really famous recognises you and you go, how do you know me? And it was really one of those. And Seb has been a real fanatic. And he tried to buy the club. Obviously, he was part of the consortium that lost out to Todd Bowley, etc. Yeah. But there's others like Dickie Attenborough. If you'd have put him down, you were getting the win there. Yeah. 100% you were getting the win from me.
Yeah. Again, who did you think? Dickie Attenborough for Chelsea? What about Everton? Did you think Dame Judy Dench?
Yeah, or McCartney would have been temptation. But to be honest, there are a huge amount for Everton. There's staggering numbers for Everton of actors, particularly. I mean, stunning amount of actors there. But we got to go with the two that were mentioned there. I mean, by the way, had it been Eddie Cavana against Ziggy Zaga, Eddie was winning.
Yes.
However, that's not what it was. And it was Matthew. And I think Matthew wins it in that one because he gave everything to the club.
A lovely touch. Lovely touch, that, Pat. Right, gents.
Greatest game, right?
Michael, for Chelsea, you've gone for a crowning moment of European glory, beating Bayern Munich in penalties to win the Champions League for the first time in the club's history. Here's the moment. They lifted the trophy back in 2012.
Fantastic night of football action here.
Come on.
It's just the most perfect night that you could have. It was amazing. It was a David and Goliath story. Like, we were the underdogs. We're playing Bayern Munich, who were just phenomenal, got battered the whole game, go down to a Müller goal in the final minutes of the game, and then Drogba comes in and sort of does what Drogba does. It was kind of the story arc of that season was just amazing. You know, like Di Matteo, interim manager, we beat that Barcelona side and we were scrapping to the final, like squad depleted through injuries and suspensions, and to just absolutely rob them of it in their own backyard was phenomenal. And then to crown it all off, it meant Tottenham didn't get into the Champions League next year.
let's get to the real point.
You couldn't write how great it was for Chelsea fans.
Pat, it was a special moment, wasn't it, in Champions League history, 2012?
It was extraordinary, but as you well know, Gordon, because I've told you before, I didn't go, even though I was invited. I was going to get paid to go there, and I was going to be wonderful, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. But I chose something else. I had something else on that day. The Scottish Cup final was Hibernian versus Heart of Midlothian.
Yes.
As a Hibernian supporter, I chose to watch the Hibs, who hadn't won the Scottish Cup for over 100 years. Yeah. We get beat 5-1. Yeah. I made a big mistake that day.
Pat, that was a dreadful, dreadful decision, wasn't it?
That was one of my worst, possibly up there with the worst decisions I've ever made in my life. But honestly, I just didn't think, just as you were saying there, Michael, I did not think Chelsea had an absolute hope in the world. And that was part of the decision I made. Incorrect in the extreme, and it was a magical night. And if we go 2 seconds, as Didier Drogba scored the penalty to win the goal, that was 3 seconds before I went on air to do the highlights programme for BBC Scotland's that night for the Hibs Hearts game. And I was jumping about like a lunatic in the studio. And then I come on air and I had to go and pretend I was fed up.
Oh, Pat. Well, I'll make you feel better, Pat. I wrote the programme notes about why Hibs were going to batter Hearts in that game, which gets sent to me about every half an hour by Hearts fans. Great shout, though, Michael. Great shout. So, Liam, Everton, this is another victory on the way to lifting a European.
I do like the idea that Hearts fans to this day still just send them a screenshot of those programme notes.
Yeah, it's like the fella at the moment who's getting loads off Evertonians. Remember that fella when I was away to take a video down at Bramley Moor with a cone?
Yeah.
And like, it feels like every day on Twitter you see another post and picture of him. It's like, look at this state-of-the-art stadium that has actually been built.
Trophy Everton were going to lift the Cup Winners' Cup in 1995, the game you've picked, now famous, the semi-final victory again over poor old Bayern Munich. The Germans went ahead, but Everton roared back with 3 goals. Here they are, listen to this.
It's going to be, has put Everton into the lead here. A wonderful performance by Gray. He hustled and he bustled, and that time he did more than hustle and bustle. He scored. Everton 2, Bayern Munich 1. Andy Gray,
good challenge by Bracewell. Dremler will come back to have a second bite at it. Sheedy gets there first. Good ball finds Andy Gray. Gray will play the ball forward to Trevor Stephen. A chance here for Trevor Stephen. And Trevor Stephen has taken Everton into the final of the European Cup Winners' Cup.
It must be magical for you, Liam, listening to that. And I think I might have said 95 by mistake there. 85, of course. But magical, Liam.
Yes. I mean, I think one of the biggest compliments you can pay about that game is that it is probably the greatest night in Goodison's history. We're talking about a ground that's hosted the World Cup semi-final. It's had Pele, Ronaldo, Nazario, some of the best players in the world grace it. But the one night, if you ask anyone about Goodison, they go back to Bayern Munich. And to kind of contrast that with the one that Michael's gone for, it was Everton who battered Bayern Munich. Yeah. You know, Everton went 1-0 down, but in that second half, they absolutely battered Bayern. You know, the famous team talk, Howard Kendall says, to the team, just get the ball towards the Glad Street, they'll suck it into the net. And when you see some of the football for the first couple of goals is maybe not as graceful as when Pat was in the team at times, but if you look at that third goal, Randy Gray plays it into Trevor Stephen, and as he wheels away after he puts it into the back of the net, it's not just brilliant football, but you just see the scenes, and it's absolutely amazing. Obviously, Chelsea's was an amazing achievement, but I'm going to use this here to try and do anything I can to win. Frank Lampard compared Everton staying up against Palace to it. That's all I'm going to say. Ooh. I don't mean that to denigrate anyone, because it's a brilliant night, but he did do that. Yeah. And I just think that for me, this game is it's widely celebrated, the greatest game in Everton history, and I think it was a bit of a no-brainer for me.
It's strong. It's very strong, Liam. Right, OK, we're going to let Pat mull that over. And while we do that, you know, we can't have an amazing DJ like Pat on without a little bit of music. So it is a heavyweight battle. Liam, this has got to be the tune for you guys. I mean, if that just means Everton to me, it doesn't mean anything else. Liam, it's a pretty special tune, isn't it, for Goodison Park and for anybody who's been to see a game there?
It is. I mean, you know, even here now, make your head on your arm stand up. Yeah. There's something so special about Zed Cars, especially on an evening game or a big game when you hear the first tones of it and then there's like a roar of anticipation from the crowd. It's like nothing else. And, you know, players who look like Pat, who probably look enough to play the Goodison, will tell you how special it is to come out to that. It's amazing as a fan, but it must be unbelievable as a player.
Pat, how good was that, Pat, hearing that when you were ready to play, you're pumped up and ready to go?
That and then the noise that accompanied it when you walked out, because there's a very, very special feeling about walking out of that tunnel at Goodison, because it's so tight and you walk out and there's no big long walk. You're out and bang, it's you. And it's the fans, but it's the noise as well. And it is a brilliant moment. There's no doubt about that.
When you hear you talking about it like the pack, give your eye teeth, wouldn't you, to have that opportunity? What an amazing, amazing thing to have the privilege to have done. Right, Michael, this is the one you've gone for, Chelsea.
Absolute classic.
Michael, why is the history so special with Chelsea on that track?
I think it just originated in the 60s or 70s.
The 60s or the 70s.
He doesn't even know. I mean, I didn't go into the origins of cars, but it feels like he's just gone out on a whim there, hasn't it?
So Mail played the Liquidator, as that's the name of that track, more so before we come out, so we would have had a very, very little, actually, oddly, for the players, so maybe not quite as much as an anthem for the players. Certainly blue as a colour was the one for the Chelsea anthem. Remember, that was one of the first, if not probably the best and most obvious, like, football song by a bunch of football players that ended up at the Top of the Pops.
Excellent.
But you've chosen the Liquidator.
Well, Pat, you know, you've got two songs there to bear in mind as well, because this is the moment you've been dreading this evening. You've got to choose between Everton and Chelsea, between Blue and Blue, between Liam and Michael. So who is your fan of the match?
Right, it's really tough because Zedcars wins over Liquidator, but it wouldn't have won over Blue as a colour. However,
yeah, Pat.
Madness, that shout. That's
don't
want to
go into all the depths of it. So I've done the totting up here, and it is currently 2-2. Absolutely, I'm not making it up. It's 2-2, and it's really, really tough to call this one. And I, honestly, I'm struggling, and I've never been able to do it. And it's been the trauma of my life. I hate one game or two games every single season. Chelsea, Everton, then Everton, Chelsea. I hate them. I absolutely despise them because I can't support one more than the other. So I've given it a draw. I hate me for it. I've given it a draw.
Pat,
I really have.
Evan, I can't believe you've done this.
Well,
I mean,
now, wait a minute. You've not asked me about the dish, the mascot. Right. Ask me about one of those.
Okay.
And then you get an answer.
Right. Here we go then. Let's put it down to the mascots. Michael, who's the Chelsea mascot?
We got two, I think. It's Stamford the Lion and Bridget, who is also a lion,
right?
Which is obviously the best mascot you can get. And we had one of them got nicked once, I think. Someone nicked Stamford.
Right, Michael's given us two lions. Liam, can you raise us two lions?
Okay, so this is the pivotal moment. Now, I remember us getting a lot of suggestions for this from the listeners, and I was surprised at how much Mr. Testicles was popping up.
I wasn't.
But he was only at, like, the one or two games, and he's not an Everton mascot. He's been at Anfield.
He was, but, you know, I think that, like, it feels like in Everton online lore, it's quite iconic. And one thing I'd like to point out as well, that Michael Lee has gone for a couple of lions. If you listen to the intro of the show, Gordon Smart goes, "We want the weirdest mascot."
Yeah, he does.
And Chelsea's badge is lions. You know, Everton's badge isn't a pair of bollocks, is it?
Yeah, so the weirdest is definitely misleading.
Yeah, if that, although as a, you know, I'll say a lot of our listeners did mention it, that kind of played into my thinking here because like, well, if that's what you want, you know.
But see, I knew you'd be thinking that as well, and I thought, all right, he's going to call an audible here and he's going to do what needs to be done to get the victory, and he's got to go with the Toffee League.
That's why I was just at this point, I was thinking just trying to get the win. Anything, I was also thinking, Michael, I said before, I think he's a little bit light on detail here. You know, he's not offered like a great case for them, has he? He's not, you know, he's not, it doesn't sound particularly interesting.
Oh, he said we've got a lion and we've got another one who's also a lion.
What is the Everton?
Yeah, well, we have the Toffee League traditionally, but I'm going to go for one that featured, I think, in 2007, 2008. We had a man come on the pitch in an outfit that was a giant pair of testicles, and he was called Mr. Testicles. He scored a penalty at Goodison Park.
Yeah, I think I text you at this moment saying that I just closed my eyes and shook my head. We were out of another cup.
Yeah, but it wasn't exactly Onana's pen, was it?
Texted and said, "Oh, you had to say the Toffee Lady there. Snatch defeat from the jaws of victory." And like you said, the people said, "Mr. Testicles, you have to stick with it."
Yeah, it did. So, and the other thing as well is we bow to the good times bobble, and we've put stuff out to vote. You know, we're quite a democratic podcast. We try to be, and you know, I don't kind of explain it, but the amount of people who responded to Mr. Testicles was quite intense, wasn't it, Kev?
Yeah, it's the listener's fault.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, it's your fault, everyone. All right?
Yeah, not mine.
This is on you. This is
you dropped the ball, if not me.
Yeah, this is 30 years, and it's it's going to be 30 more years at this rate.
If you look up the aesthetic on this, there is nothing like that. And I can assure you, when I put this out to our listeners and our podcast and our social media, the one answer that came through more than anything else, more than Neville Southall, more than Biden, was Mr. Testicles, to the point where I was hoping this wasn't a phone call, not video, because I thought they'd have to get me the costume.
Well, Liam, Liam, if we'd pre-recorded this, I'd have given that the snip. Pat, right, come on, make your decision, Pat. You can't sit in the fence.
I'm not going to sit in the fence. It'd be too painful after that answer.
Two lions or two balls? What's your?
Had you said the Toffee Girls, I might have gone for it, but you didn't. So it's Stamford the Lions.
Stamford the Lions. Blue is the colour. Well,
gentlemen, it's been a pleasure speaking to you all tonight. Liam,
I mean, that was quite a good joke from Pat there, to be fair, about sitting on the fence. I enjoyed that one.
I thought Gordon's snip one wasn't too bad either.
Yeah, I prefer Pat's though. Mm-hmm. It's just the image of it, this big pair of balls, like literally sitting on a fence. Well, there. So I think you were unlucky there, mate. That, you know, I felt like Pat was, you know, he was in London, isn't he, sitting in the studio down there.
He was on the phone to them.
Oh, was he? Was he?
Yeah, he was on the phone. I'm pretty sure he dialed in as well.
Well, either way, I think he's a bit more of a Chelsea lad than he is.
I've read his both his books and the autobiographies. They're brilliant because he's done other books. Yeah. But I was reading the second one, which is the title of escaping right at the moment, and he said not long after he left Everton, he went to an Everton-Chelsea game at Goodison. He was in the Chelsea end. You know, he said as much as he does love Everton, if he had to pick between the two, he'd pick Chelsea. And I know he goes on to say that how much he hates Everton for Chelsea's game because he wants both teams to win, but I do think if push comes to shove, he'll go for Chelsea.
I think that second book was called Football and How to Survive It. It's the one where he's in the Tramier kit on the front, is it?
Yeah. Do you know what? I'm going to say it was a brilliant read. I got it on holiday. I was down in Cornwall this year on holiday and I bought it because there was a bookstore open till 9 o'clock in the place we were staying. It just seemed so quaint. I went in and saw it and bought it and I read it in a day. And I was just like, it's a genuinely fascinating read. He even mentions the good times John Spencer at length, because when John left Everton, he went to Motherwell and Pat was involved there, which is really interesting, actually.
All right, well, let's hear out the last, the closing tones here of your appearance on Good Smart Show.
Thank you so much. All the best to Everton this season. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Great stuff, man. And Michael, it's been a joy having you. Thanks so much for coming on.
No, cheers, guys.
Wasn't actually worth doing that, was it? I think we could have wrapped up there.
We could have.
I think you did brilliantly, mate. You'd never have known that was your first appearance on national radio.
Oh, that's really kind. Yeah, I think obviously we've had quite a bit of practice doing this. I think it was just a case of just kind of trying to be myself and trying to be us. And I think, you know, the fella was up against, it felt like he, you know, he didn't have the same depth of knowledge that I think we bring in the awesome we try and bring on this pod. But just I think I can't touch on you. I actually make like a page and a half of notes before I went on of things that could come up, like stuff like the fact that Chelsea have 1,500 points less than Everton in the all-time league table. So they'd need 15 seasons of 100 points, which has only ever been done once, and Everton to be able to top flight just to draw a level and stuff like that. And, you know, I even wrote how, you know, I thought he'd go for the Champions League in 2012. Swansea United pointed out how they finished sixth, they finished second season before, and they sacked the manager as well. So, it's, you know, it was a great cup, and then obviously, you know, oh God, we'd kill for that Goodison, wouldn't we? But maybe it's not as brilliant as it made out to be. But hey ho.
I mean, that should have a point taken off it for John Terry's answer, because full time as well.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think so as well. You know,
Chelsea are just naff, aren't they? I don't know how anyone can have an affiliation for them, like.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? I mean, it's strange. You know, the success is, you know, in this century is something that, you know, we're really envious of. But one of the things I did write down, I think it's something that is really important. And, you know, one of the reasons we do the Good Times podcast is because our identity and our history is something that a lot of our fans are proud of, as much as we want to be better in the future. In the 80s, when Pat was playing there, the Shed End was like their notorious end. In the same way, the Gladys Street is a Goodison. The away fans have sat in the Shed End for like, what, 15, 20 years now? Mm. You know, that lack of identity, be able to just to shift that. You know, you wouldn't get that at the whole end. You wouldn't get it at the Stretford. You know, you wouldn't even get it with the Love Bulls at the Cop, would you? Apart from that game in the women's, where they did it for us. And that's what I thought with Julia Bowl. But it is, you know, it speaks as to, like, how their identity has been forged recently rather than being as traditional as ours. And, you know, I think a lot of people, when they hear the word great, which is what we were asked to do with the Greater Club, they think of legacy and longevity and those sorts of concepts, don't they?
Yeah. And I know that you also didn't take up my other suggestion about John Terry, which is probably for legal reasons as well.
And that's why we'll leave it off this podcast as well.
All right. Well, well done to you, mate. I thought you were really good on there. I was very proud listening to you, actually. And we'll see where it goes. Who knows what we're going to get invited to next?
I've just learnt my lesson now. If you ever go on national radio, don't start talking bollocks.